in this passage here. You've got a section of Scripture that is one of probably the strongest sermon Jesus preached against the Pharisees. Here he calls them serpents and vipers. I mean, to call somebody a snake, that's pretty strong. The only passage that comes stronger than this, maybe it's equal, as John chapter 8, when Jesus told them, "You don't even know me, you're lost." Now, John chapter 8 might tie with this. However, when you look at it, the couple of words that stand out here is Jesus is preaching to them. He's calling them Pharisees, hypocrites. And then look at verse number 26. The blind Pharisee cleanse first that which is within, the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. What a verse. God says if you'll put a stress on the inside qualities of what you are, your outside qualities will increase. Isn't that what it says? But if you put a stress on the outside first, many times because the inside is unseen and no one sees it, it never gets fixed. That's why a facade Christianity is always a danger. It's always a temptation because it's easier for me to put on nice clothing than it is for me to change what I am on the inside. It's like, you know, all I got to do is change my wardrobe, right? And it's a lot easier. The temptation here, and you'll notice all through these verses, Jesus is saying you're a hypocrite because you stress what's on the outside long before you fix what's on the inside, or the word our Savior used, within. Within. As our Savior, the title of the sermon tonight is "What You Are Is More Important Than What You Do." And just that truth rocks the boat, because our society is not built on that. Our society used to be, and I'll share that with you in just a second, but what you are is far more important than what you do. Think with me just for a second. As our Savior walked this earth, He did nothing to earn the death that He died. I know He was sinless. He had to die. He had to die. In dying in our place for our sins, there was going to be an injustice. I understand that. But when you think through the kangaroo court and the false accusations and the lies, it is absolutely amazing to me that they could get away with why they killed Him. He said He'd rebuild the temple in 3 days. He said, "You totally missed what I said." He said He would do this. He made Caesar our king. He said, and all the false accusations. They had to find two false witnesses, and even the two false witnesses couldn't agree with the charges they were trumping up against Him. He never murdered. He never hurt anyone. He never taught an overthrow of the government to establish His kingdom. He never stole, He never lied, He never told an untruth. Why did they hate Him so much? How do you hate someone who's sinless? How do you seek to kill someone? Absolutely amazes me, you know, as you think of the crucifixion that night. He blew them all backwards, and they still came after Him. Somebody should have been saying, this is not normal. Somebody should have been saying, I think we got the wrong guy here. But it never clicked. What would cause that type of blind hatred and that type of anger? What angered the Pharisees is that Jesus put an emphasis on the inward rather than the outward. And He forced them, He forced every one of us, He forced them to look at ourselves inwardly versus how we like to look at each other is outwardly. We like to judge each other by our cars, by our clothes, by our house, by our position, and that's how, because we're physical, we're humans, and I understand the sin nature and the tendency, but when Jesus said what's on the outside doesn't matter, He shook them to the foundation. You mean I'm not important because of the money I have? Take your Bible and go to Matthew. Watch this. Matthew chapter 5. Look at how he stressed, look at how our Savior stressed the inside, the inward is far more important than the outward. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Here's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And watch this. Matthew 5, look at verse number 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And, you know, you picture them all going, amen, that's right, that's right. Don't kill nobody, amen. And then he changes gears, and watch what he says. He takes it deeper. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever ever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but who shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. You know what he's talking about? He said, no, you may not have killed somebody. He said, but the attitude you have in your heart towards someone, he said, I deal with all the time. I see that in you. That's why he that hateth his brother, 1 John, dwelleth in darkness. There is no joy. God says the attitude of your... I haven't ever killed anybody. Huh. I'm innocent. No, you're not either. The inward part of your heart proves your guilt. You have hated people, and when you do, you're not right. And he said, and what they thought was, I'm innocent. Then he said, you're guilty because of how you are on the inside. Look at the next set of verses. He's going to do it again. He's going to say it's not the outward, it's the inward. Look at verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I pray every day. God said, I'm more interested in how you get along with other people than your... In other words, God says literally, if you're praying to me and I call to your remembrance somebody that you've wronged, God says, you go and you make that right. Well, no, I pray. God said, do you see what he's doing? They're saying, I outwardly do this. I haven't killed anybody. I pray. And Jesus says, I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about what you are. I'm talking about the part of you that nobody sees except me. He's going to do it again. That's verse 23. Look at verse 27. Watch this. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he's going to drive it deeper, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I don't commit adultery. I'm clean. Have you ever stripped a woman with your eyes? Shame on you. You committed adultery in your heart. And what nobody saw but God? God says that makes you guilty. What you are on the inside is much more important than what you are on the outside, without. And if you'll make clean the inside and work on your spiritual you, your character, your inward you, then it's amazing what falls into place on the outside. But the stress our Savior put on, that's what made the Pharisees so mad. I pray, I haven't killed anybody, I don't commit adultery. He says, I know your heart. I know your heart inside. Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, and this angered the Pharisees so much they wanted to kill him. We've studied Ezra and Nehemiah. God sent Ezra to build the temple first. Then he sent Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. God always works from the inside out. Us, we would have done it just the opposite. We would have built the wall, and then we would have built the gold temple. Right? We work from the outside in. That just sounds logically correct. God doesn't do that. God works from the inside out. From the inside out. Everybody here that is saved had to come to grips with this very truth, or you can't get saved. Are you ready? Listen closely. It's not what you do or don't do that'll take you to hell. It's what you are. Right? You ever hear somebody try to justify how they're going to, how they think they're going to save themselves, like I preached this morning? Well, I do this, I do this. Ma'am, you don't understand. It's not what you do that's going to send you to hell. It's what you are. You are dead. You are a sinner. You are in trust. It's what you are that's going to send you to hell. And if you will change what you are, get born again, let God come inside you, rebirth you, make you His child, then the actions will matter. But it's not what you are. It's not what you do that sends you to hell. It's what you are. Same thing is true. Listen to this. The opposite is true also. It's not what you do or don't do that'll take you to heaven. It's what you are. It's what you are. What you are is far more important than what you do. False religions always place an emphasis on the outer. And then they think that that'll eventually change you on the inside so you can eventually earn heaven. God says, I change what you are so then you can do what you're supposed to do. They say that the Industrial Revolution in America is what destroyed America. You say, what was the Industrial Revolution? After World War II, we created a lot of factories during World War II. Men went off to war. Women went to work. And all of a sudden when they came back after we won, a brick house was available to the average American for, I believe the price that I've seen is right around $4,000 to $6,000. Many families who had never owned their own home because the industrial, we could literally make anything we wanted in America. Whereas before we went from a rural society and a farm-based society to now we're a Walmart society. And we don't make chairs anymore. We go to Walmart and we buy a plastic one, right? In other words, before World War II, they say that was the greatest generation that could fight Hitler's army, the greatest trained army in the world, and beat them. How come? Because the army that faced World War II from America went through the Depression. Those were teenagers and children that went through the 1932 Depression. And what was God doing? God was stripping everything from them so that they could be and have the character to face the greatest army in the world. And that's how come they call that generation in 1932 the greatest generation America's ever known. After World War II, now everything's available. And a materialistic, possession-crazed society, literally, that's how come rock and roll took off in the 1950s. Kids no longer had to work. Their parents were providing these homes. The cars were growing, and kids now had time to party in the evenings, and then it just escalated. Then the rock and roll of the 60s, you know, the Beatles and all that garbage, and it's just gotten worse ever since. The Industrial Revolution destroyed America's thinking in this way. They went from 1932 Depression, we'll raise an army of great... They didn't know what was happening. God did, though. But we'll raise an army of strong character, and that generation couldn't raise their kids enough to say, it's not... Look at all that we have now. But it's not what you have that makes you great, it's what you are. That generation can say that, and we honor that generation. Now this generation, we've got it all. I mean, honestly. I mean, isn't the air conditioning nice? Well, most think it's nice. We have a lot. I mean, phones and gadgets. And you'd think with all that we have, we could do more for God than anybody's ever done. I mean, worldwide internet and communication skills. And we're doing less for God than has ever been done per capita in history. But you would think with all that we have, we could do more. And it's not happening. Do you know why? We put a stress on what we have and what we have on the outside instead of the inside. Now, what you do is more important than what you are. That's why they couldn't impeach Clinton. Because, well, look at all that he's done. And that's what they kept saying. He's denying words and, you know, he was a filthy, draft-dodging, saxophone-playing, dope-smoking, we can go on. He was a nasty pervert. Bill, yeah, who was it? Jimmy Carter proved that. Let me see. Jimmy Carter proved that it doesn't matter who's president. Okay. Bill Clinton proved that we don't need a president, and Obama has proved that we don't have a president. Okay, so never mind. You take it through the position. Now let me go back to, because America has stressed, it's what you do since the 1940s. It's what you do now. That's much more important than what you are. How come nobody was saying, what do you mean? The man, the woman he slept with in the White House said he's guilty, and now he's denied. It's what he is. He's a filthy animal. Oh, his character doesn't matter. And he's actually asking in court, how do you find the word is? What? What? Somebody kick him. I remember that and the frustration of it. Now, that's how come also they couldn't, that's how come that the court last week for Benghazi with Hillary Clinton, that's what that was supposed to prove her guilt. She's a murderer. She's a troop murderer, and she needs to be tried and shot in the head publicly. She's a murderer of Americans, and she'd kill again. She was a murderer before she got in the White House, and she's... The Clintons are filthy people. But do you know how come they couldn't stick her? Because they turned it, they said, if you'll just maintain your composure and don't lose it and don't get emotional, we'll let this work out for publicly and we'll let it victimize you. And that's exactly what it did. People don't care anymore what you are. They care what you do. This is the Secretary of Defense. She's a wicked woman. Okay. The thinking, that thinking, it's not what she is, it's what she does that's important. That's how come she can skirt issues and never answer a question that's asked her. This is why people vote Democrat. I didn't say every Republican's a good person either. Many of them are snakes. They double talk and they've been bought off. Anybody that's for Common Core has been bought off. But that's why people vote for Democrat. Look at what they've given me. Look at all the benefits I have. Instead of, look at who's giving it to you. They're communists. They want to control you. That they're buying you. Look at what they are. But look at what they gave me. Free food. Free. Look at who they are. What do they stand for? What is their character like? And that's how come Obama beat McCain. People liked the sound of his voice, and what Obama was and what he had stood for in the past did not even matter. That's why he won. Because the thinking is this: what you do is more important than what you are in your character on the inside. And that type of thinking is what's killing America. As a Christian, I find Jesus attacked this and addressed it. I find it's through our Bible. Now listen closely. We have a generation that does not understand a verse like this. Proverbs 15:6 says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. They're saying, I don't care what it costs me to get this. I don't care what I got to do. It's what you have that makes you what you are. No, no, no. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. Well, I walked into Christians' homes and I don't see a whole lot of wealth, but they're righteous. They live holy. Their home is holy. What they are is more important than what they have. Well, it's not a two-story house. Or Christians now can't understand a verse like this. Proverbs 15:7, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. This is what they're saying. It'd be better to eat a bunch of herbs where you can enjoy sweet fellowship and love than it would be to enjoy a whole cow sitting at a table bickering and griping. Well, I'd rather have the cow. God says it's better to eat herbs where love is. But that thinking is different. How about a verse like this? Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. There it is again.
It'd be better for you to have a little and do right. No, not me. I got to do whatever it takes to get this type of car and this type of clothing and this type of house and this type of job and this type of... And once again, it's the stress on the outside, not what you are on the inside. So they read a verse like that and they're going, not me, boss. Not me. I don't want that. Better is a little with righteousness. I want a lot. Proverbs 16:16. I'll just a few more verses. Watch this. These verses don't make sense to people who stress the outside and not the inner. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? I'd rather have a room full of gold. God says it'd be better for you to ask Him for wisdom. If you get God's wisdom, God can trust you with as much gold as you need. But if you only live for gold, you don't get the wisdom. But that's not how we think, because the outer is more important than the inner. Proverbs 16:19, just listen, just a few more verses that are just like this. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil or the treasure with the proud. Once again, it's better to have the inward quality of the humble spirit. Proverbs 16:32, and it's the last verse here. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God says the greatest victory you get is when you conquer yourself. Inwardly. Your control over your feelings, your emotions. And as long as your emotions don't run your life, God says, that's a strong person. It's not talking about male or female. It's talking about the strength of... He that is slow to anger and has control of himself is better than the mightiest person that you know. And he that ruleth his spirit or controls his attitude than he that taketh the city. Here we go. If we took all that you do away, what would be left is what you are. What would be left if we took everything you have away? Your character and your discipline, right? And what you stand for. What would we find? You see, Jesus was stripped of everything, and the only thing that was left was His character. They took His clothing and shamed Him. And do you remember what the centurion said? As they watched Him shamed in public with nothing, the centurion said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." They've taken everything He has and look at who He is. That's God. That's God. They saw who He was dying, not just what He was doing. God always works from the inside out. If you will be what you're supposed to be and work at your inner within, your character, your discipline, your spirituality, then you will do what you're supposed to do. If I just listen here, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, but yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's an inward man. For our light affliction or our hard times, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You will, this statement, just listen, you will one day be what you are becoming now. That statement right there should help a lot of Christians. If you don't, look, I love the statement. It's what you are what you are when you're in the dark and nobody sees you. Your reputation is what other people know you to be. Your character is what God knows you are. When they shut off the lights, what do you think about? You will one day be what you are becoming. You will be more later of what you are today. One of the things that makes coming to church so enjoyable is being with God's people. You don't have to deal with hearing God's name used as a cuss word. You don't have to deal with drugs or body piercing or immodest clothing or rock music or pornography and worldly peer pressure. We try to remove the outward temptations to do wrong, and we try to create an atmosphere with singing and fellowship that's spiritual, encouraging to each other, right? That's what we enjoy about church. You can hear in church, at your home, hopefully, it's the same atmosphere. You can work on what you are. You can build your character in the sight of God. You can construct and shape who you are in God's sight, not in everybody else's sight, based on what everybody else thinks about you. It isn't supposed to be. But it makes some people uncomfortable when they come to church. What some people don't like is because their outward is stripped away, and then they're continually being revealed what they are. Is continually being revealed. And they're not used to that because they're used to a society that grades you on the type of car you have, the type of clothing you have, the job you have, the house you live in, and they're used to a society that stresses the outside. Then you come to church, and if you don't make your home spiritual, you're in an atmosphere where you're only in it three times a week if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So now you're in an atmosphere where the outward doesn't matter anymore, right? And the inward matters. And then when we're in here and preaching and the Holy Spirit's touching your heart, they're going, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, that's because hopefully the inward is being dealt with. Hopefully the Holy Ghost is working on the inside. Well, I'm not used to growing this way. You're right. Our society isn't built this way. This is how our church is structured. Do you understand? This is how we grow spiritually. I'm almost done. You mean my house doesn't make me what I am? You mean my car doesn't increase my greatness? I'm glad you have a nice car and I'm glad you have a nice house. But they don't determine what you are. Instead of learning to study yourself and face yourself, as we look into the mirror of God's truth, some people, every once in a while, will get angry because they have themselves revealed. Being a good Christian is hard work. Do you know why? It's all inward. It's all inward. To grow spiritually, it takes you focusing on what everyone else can't see, and that's hard for every one of us. Because our society says it's the outside that matters. But it is what's the most important part of your house? The part that nobody sees, the foundation. The part that's in the ground. And if you don't have a good foundation, you got junk for a house. Okay? It's the most important part. But we'd rather stress the upward and the outer and what's seen. But you want to build a good house? Put the time into the foundation. You want to live a good Christian life? Stress that part that nobody sees tomorrow. When are you going to read your Bible tomorrow? It's the most important part of your day. Your prayer time tomorrow? I don't know when you're going to pray. Hopefully you got a set time. It's the most important part of your day, and it's not wasted time. That's when you will stress the inward, not the outward. What you are is much more important than what you do. Can you take your Bible? We're almost done. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse number 19. I'll say it again, being a Christian is hard work. It takes work to control your thoughts, it takes work to control your eyes, it takes work to control what you are and what you stand for. Because anybody can just float downstream, but being a Christian is hard work. The only people that get bored with a Christian life, listen to this closely, the only people that think church is boring and living the Christian life is boring is people who don't work on themselves. They quit taking themselves as the challenge. I'm not supposed to work on you. I'm supposed to work on me. Amen? I'm supposed to be pushing me. And as we come to church together, those who enjoy church the most are those who are pushing themselves. Oh, wow, you're trying to live the Christian life? You're trying to go soul winning? You're trying to live for God? You're trying... Oh, me too! Wow, it's good being with people that stress the inside and stress the outside. That's what makes church enjoyable. But people who get bored with it, you're not working on you, are you? You quit pushing you. Watch this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 19. Ready? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, those that are saved, depart from iniquity. Look at this now, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Watch this, verse 21, you ought to look at it later. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these. In other words, in a great house. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is going to tell you that vessel or the house is our body. And all of us have gold and silver, good qualities, and all of us have wood and hay and things that are going to be burned up when we see Jesus. God says, it's my job to purge myself of what's wrong with me. I'm supposed to analyze my weaknesses, and I'm supposed to work on them. And if I do so, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. How come I want to do that? How come I want to grow spiritually? So God can use me. So God can. I want to be a clean vessel. Look, it's just like if I took a trash can and we put roadkill in it and I brought it in here and it stunk. You could only use that trash can for roadkill. But if I take the same trash can, dump it out, put alcohol in it, sterilize it, scrub it, wash it, dry it. I now have a clean vessel that I can put drinks in, right? I don't have to just put roadkill in it. This is a useful vessel. We could use it for all around the church here. We could put some extra water in it maybe if the power went. I don't know. But I can use this clean vessel for a lot more than I can use a dirty vessel. It's my job to clean me. I do that as I walk with the Lord and as I pray and read my Bible. Christian, it is your job to purge you on the inside. But we live in a society that says, it's your car, it's your money, it's your clothing, it's your house, it's everything that's outwardly. Christian, you should be pushing yourself so God can use you and cleaning you. The inside is much more important than the outside. I'm almost done. 1 Peter 1:15 says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. A Christian should be, here's inward qualities. Here's things you can't see, but here's things that you are. A Christian should be holy. A Christian should be pure. A Christian should be humble and not proud. A Christian should be loving and kind. A Christian should be punctual and on time. Look, can I ask you a question about being on time? Somebody said, well, I just can't be on time. If I paid you money, would you? If I paid you money, would you be? How much money would you take? $50? Well, yeah, you give me $50, I'll be on time. So let me get this straight. You do for money what you won't do for God? Does anything seem off? So let me get this straight. If I pay you, you do what you should do, but for the Lord, you can't. That's an inward quality. Well, you give me money, I could do anything. Christian, are you pushing you, purging yourself? You push you, the inward qualities. A Christian should be just and fair. A Christian should be honest and truthful. A Christian should be joyful. A Christian should have the peace of God in their heart. Quit emphasizing what you do and start working on what you are. If I could get you to focus on the inner spiritual qualities of people and not the outer qualities, no girl would ever date the wrong person. Guys are jerks, girls. I'll just tell you, guys know how to buy girls off. They know how to get them obligated. Buy them a few things and then they're, oh, look what he got me. I like what one girl said. I don't allow any boy to buy me anything until we're engaged. The only thing he can buy me is a burger. It's a burger. But I've watched guys, hey, here's a bracelet. Then she does what? Then she gets obligated. And when that keeps going on, he's going to cash in.
He's going to cash in. If I could, I'll say it one more time. If I could get you to focus on the inner spiritual qualities of people and not the outer qualities, I'll say it again, no girl would ever date the wrong person and no boy would ever date the wrong person. But they're too interested in the outer. You can, if you could help you yield to the Holy Ghost so you don't walk in the flesh, if you just practice yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. I love this. Just thinking about this. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to self-destruct. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to have a nervous breakdown. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to make a stupid decision. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to go against the Word of God. What you are on the inside is so much more important than what you do. Last verse we'll look at. Could you please take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12. This is taught so much in the Bible, but we live in a society, literally, that is exactly opposite of Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Watch this. I wish you'd take it and look at it later tonight in your Bible. Look at it later and think about this. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Nothing will kill your spiritual growth like materialism. What you have, your money, the outward, the outer, nothing kills spirituality. Because you're measuring yourself by a broken stick. It means nothing. What you are on the inside, within, if you'll make that clean first, Jesus said, then the outside will become clean by itself. It's a way of thinking that we're not used to. And our society definitely doesn't teach it.